We again want to welcome you this morning to New Life Baptist Church. We're excited to have y'all with us today and recognize there's some friends and family celebrating Thanksgiving together. We're glad y'all are with us. Also to our visitors, we're especially glad to have you today. I want to tell you welcome home to New Life this morning. Also take this time real fast just to welcome our congregation next door at our contemporary service. We're also glad that y'all are with us today and able to worship over there and thankful we spend the time together in the Word this morning. Well, let's take our time here this morning and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I know we're entering into the Christmas season, but before we jump into all the hustle and bustle that comes with that, I want to take a moment to pause, reflect, and consider Thanksgiving. Once more, as we kind of close out this Thanksgiving week and this month of giving praise and thanksgiving to our Lord. And so we're going to turn to James chapter 1 this morning and travel through a few verses here as we go through God's Word and God's text for us. So starting in verse 2, it says this in James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or perseverance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Go down to verse 12. It says this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast, again, who perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And then finally, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Let's pray and thank God for His Word and pray His Word will do the work today. Father, we do thank You. And God, we do praise You. And God, this week of Thanksgiving, we do come to give You great thanks and great praise, God, because of who You are and what You've done and what You're doing in our lives. God, we come to honor You and pray, Lord, that Your Word, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, will work in our lives. Lord, continue to transform us, create new in us, convict us of sin, and Lord, call us back home to return to You and follow You, Jesus, with an undivided heart. Lord, fixed and focused on following and obeying You, Jesus. We love You, praise You, pray You bless this time, use this time, and may Your Word again do the work through the power of Your Spirit today. We love You, we praise You, and it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray these things. And God's church said this morning, amen. Amen. I love Thanksgiving, and I love Thanksgiving break and everything that comes along with it. And there's a lot of memories that I have over Thanksgiving break. And I'm sure you can look back on many of your Thanksgivings with your family and your friends and think of very vivid memories that you share. And there's a lot of football, there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of food, but Thanksgiving 2004 was one of the most vivid memories of Thanksgiving that I have. It was down in San Antonio, Texas, in my grandparents' house. I was going to a small Baptist college at the time called Howard Payne in Central Texas, and I made the 3-hour drive home to San Antonio to my grandparents' house and had my whole entire family there at that one house, my dad's entire side, and we had a great week of Thanksgiving. Now, it was notable for a few reasons. Number one, that was the very first week, the very first time I'd ever heard of, seen, or been exposed to a phenomena called Facebook. All right? The adults have since caught up and scared all the kids away with your political posts, but Facebook came out in 2004, and it was only open to universities at the time. And so my cousin was a Baylor student, and she had Facebook, and I got on there and saw the world of social media. Groundbreaking stuff. Now it's very, on our phones, and it's right there in our hands, and we're accustomed to it, but it was groundbreaking at that time. Number two. Another reason why it's a significant break for me is every year, my whole side of my family, I know y'all are praying for me, we're Longhorn fans, okay? Die-hard Longhorn fans, and my grandpa was the patriarch of that tradition. Had season tickets on the 50-yard line for 30 years. I mean, he was a committed man, and so we went to Grandpa's house. We watched Texas beat down what he would call them cotton-picking Aggies of Texas A&M, and Texas won that year. I remember that, watching with my grandpa, 26-13, a very vivid memory. But what was really vivid about that Thanksgiving break was that was the break that I began to talk to a little girl named Tara Beth Teff. Now, y'all know her as my wife, Tara Beth Venable, but that was the very, kind of the first week that we really began to talk. Now, we'd sp- spoken before, and we had met, obviously, and we had begun to develop a relationship, but I spent that entire break, focused and fixated on this one girl. So here's what I would do. Spend the entire day with my family, right? Entire day with my family. About 11 midnight, when everyone's going to bed, I would go outside so no one could hear me, and I could have my private conversation. I would talk to this girl on a cell phone from about 11 p.m. to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Every night of the break. And y'all remember that first time you were falling in love with your spouse, and y'all can catch that memory and think about how you felt. Man, I was in love with this girl. And I wanted to know her, and I wanted to pursue her. And it was the beginning of our story. The beginning. Now I can see back, and why is that significant? Why is that break significant? Why is looking back significant? Because what I can do, I can look back and see what was going on in my life then and see how God used all that today. I can look back and see how God was working in my life then and see how God is still working in my life today. Back in 2004, I had no idea what my life was going to look like. I had a plan. It was to live in Texas, right, and do pastoral work there with my dad. That was the dream plan. I'm in Arkansas. Been married to this girl 8 years later since we've been married, and now I'm preaching at a wonderful church and have a wonderful home with a wonderful family. I had no idea what life was going to be in 2004, but 2016, I know God has been faithful. And so when I look back at what God did then and look at today, what God is doing now, I am thankful. I give Him great thanks. I give Him great praise. And it all flows from realizing that God has been at work. I can look and see what God has done. And I can know that God is still doing great things for me and for His kingdom, because God is good. And His character is good, as we read in our text today. And so we have to understand that it is incredibly important. We understand our calling as the church, as followers of Christ, to give thanks and to give praise. To give thanksgiving and to give praise. I don't know where you are in life today. I don't know what circumstances you're facing. I don't know the trials, I don't know the difficulties, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know this, we have more than enough reason to give thanks. We have more than enough reason to give thanks. And we have to know this, the more we thank God for what He's done, the more thanksgiving will turn into praise of God for who He is. So we have a kind of a twofold kind of a calling here in this text. Number one, we need to give thanks. Giving thanks, recognition, the recognition of who or what God has done. The recognition of what God has done. Let's go back to our text, starting in verse 2. It says, it's counted all joy, my brothers, when you meet, it's not an if, it's a when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces, it's doing something, it's working, produces steadfastness or perseverance, again, to the ability to face and go through by the Lord's strength. And let steadfastness have its full effect, its potential, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. We need to thank God because of what He has done and what He is doing. So here's my argument. Out of this text, here's my argument. You are not in charge of your outcomes. You're in charge of your obedience. You are not in charge of your outcomes. You are in charge. You are called. You are commissioned with obedience. God's got the outcomes. God's got a plan. A man plans the way in his heart, but the Lord directs his steps. God is in charge of the outcomes. You're in charge of obedience. Because here's what we know. Here's what we know. Let's be honest. Life is hard. Life is hard. I know we're supposed to be real tough and just to be upfront and not and toughen up and get over things, but in some circumstances in life, life is very hard. It gets difficult. And we have to go through a lot of different things because we have various trials. Again, the text says, when you meet trials of various kinds. Trials come often unexpected and unannounced. And they often come in many different ways that we don't even see coming, such as marital stress, financial stress, family stress, job difficulties, health, losing a loved one. We all face problems and circumstances of various kinds. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life throws us many various curveballs, and it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. But again, we're not in charge of our outcomes, we're in charge of our obedience. Because here's what we know. We can face these trials, face these circumstances, face these testings of our faith, because God is working in our lives. We give thanks because God is doing something. God is at work in all things. He's using the testing of our faith. He's using the trials to produce something good. It says, let it produce steadfastness. God is producing in our life. And so we need to trust that He is doing something good in us. We give Him thanks because God's at work. Despite our circumstances, despite our situations, despite our difficulties, we give God thanks. Now, why would we do that? Well, I think testing of our faith and trials lead us to a few things. Number one, leads us to dependence. Leads us to dependence. I am dependent upon the Lord's strength to get through a lot of different situations. That's why I pray. That's why I trust. That's why I follow. That's why I have faith, because I trust that the Lord is greater than my understanding. I trust the Lord has a bigger plan than my plan. I trust that God will remove this illusion of self-sufficiency that I often have, thinking I can just go on without Him, or I can face this on my own, and I began to trust the Lord. Because there's a lot of people who think, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, God will give you more than He can handle, but He also supplies the grace to face it. If you didn't need God, if you could face all your problems without God, you wouldn't need Him, church. But He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to depend, rely upon Him. And so trials, testing, leads to our dependence upon the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells very clearly what God is doing. He says this in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. You're going through a hard time. You're going through a difficult situation. But God, if we count all things, if we count it all joy, if we evaluate in light of eternity, in light of what God is doing, we can trust that it's light, it's momentary, and God is doing something bigger. God is always at work, church. God is always at work to produce something good in us. So understand, it's all about our perspective and thankfulness. Giving thanks changes our perspective. Giving thanks, despite what you go through, changes your perspective. Now, I realize a lot of you are older than me. I'm only 31 years old, and y'all have a different life perspective than I do. Y'all have different wisdom. Y'all have gone through different experiences than I've gone through. I understand that. And so you have a different perspective on things. And that's good. But I know this, our God has eternity in mind when it concerns us. And so trust the Lord's complete perspective. He's not limited. He can't just see beyond the horizon. He has seen eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. God is eternal, and He's working in your life with eternity in perspective. Trust His perspective for you. Trust His plan for you. Trust that He is working in your life. And so trials and testing leads us to dependence. Trials and testing also lead us to maturity. Our text tells us this, that let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. When we trust the Lord, we have that faith that doesn't waver, we begin to believe that God has a good plan for us, our reliance, our dependence upon Him, our steadfastness, our perseverance in His plan for us will lead us to a faith that is perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That's the goal of our faith. And here's what I know. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. I've said that to you before, and I believe it. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. That's the same for your marriage, the same for your job. Because think about it. I know my marriage can stand because we've gone through things. I know my marriage can persevere because we've gone through trials. We've had some hardships. We've had difficulties. Because anytime you got two people in a relationship, it's going to happen. But we persevere. And so our relationship has been tested, and I can trust that no matter what comes, it's not going to fall apart. Same with our faith. We know it's going to be tested, but we trust that God is going to work, and we can trust that He is going to do things that are always for us and not against us. God is at work. Trials and testing lead to our dependence, lead to our maturity, but finally they lead us to joy. To joy. Now that sounds crazy to you, I understand. Because what do we have to be excited about in a trial? What are we celebrating in a difficult time? What in the world could we ever be joyful for when we have to go through various trials and all kinds of things in this life? Here's what I know. Here's what we know. The natural response is not joy. The natural response is not to celebrate. So therefore, to finish with joy, we must start with joy. To finish with joy, we must start with joy. And so we count it all joy because God is faithful. We count it all joy because God is producing something good in us. We count it all joy because God is moving us to where He wants us to be and to do what He wants us to do. We count it joy because God is at work. We count it all joy because God is at work. And joy is never given, or joy is always given. Joy is always given. It's never just grasped. Well, I think I'm just going to grab joy. No, joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. He gives us, God gives us gifts. God gives us good things. We give Him thanks, and the result of that gift that God gives is our joy. God gives joy. And so we have to understand that God is moving us in this direction. Now, this is hard for the comfortable and casual Christian, right? This is hard stuff for the comfortable, casual Christian because for too many of us, joy is often found in our circumstances. For too many of us, we give thanks to God because our joy is conditional. And we think that God, in order to be good, must always do good in us. And He does always do good in us, but He has a perspective that we don't have. And we have to trust Him because we know this. We give thanks to God because of what He has done and what God is doing. Can you think back in your life for a moment and go face a trial that you faced, a difficult circumstance you've had, and seen God be faithful? Can you just reflect for a moment and say, God, that really stunk, but man, You did something good in my life. God, that was really hard for me and my family, but on the other side of it, God, I can see how You use that for good. Church, that is the way God works. We give Him thanks because He is always producing good. We give Him thanks because no matter the circumstance, God is not conditional, and He is always working for our good. And so we give God thanks because we're not in charge of our outcomes, we're in charge of our obedience. And what is our outcome? God is going to work in our lives to produce good things in us. Trust. Thanks. Thanks for what God has done. But the second side of this is that we must also give God praise because we recognize who God is. So we give God thanks because of what He's done, but we give God praise because we recognize who God is. Who is God? Verse 16 tells us very clearly, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." We give thanks and we give praise to God, not because of how we feel, but because of who God is. We give praise and we give thanks, not because of how we feel, but because who God is. We're wishy-washy people, right? Our feelings change from day to day. One morning you can wake up happy, the next morning you can wake up grouchy, because our feelings are often variable. Who is God? It says there is no variation. There is no change. God is good. God is perfect. And God is at work, always remaining steadfast. So we give thanks and praise not because of how we feel, but because of who God is. Because the truth about our trials and the testing of our faith is that we often forget God's goodness. That's a temptation, right? As you're going through a hard time, like, God, where are You at? God, why are You making me go through this? I don't understand. God, You let me down. And you think, God, you know, He's working in us, but only on a limited perspective. And God wants us to be happy, but not too happy. So He gives us kind of good gifts, but not too good of gifts, because we think that God's kind of holding out on us. That's the temptation that we have when we go through trials and testing of our faith, is we think that God's possibly working for our good in a limited capacity. But that's not true, because the Word tells this, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. The enemy is going to confuse you. The enemy is going to discourage you. The enemy is going to make you fix your eyes on your problems instead of fix your eyes on our God. The enemy is going to get you to fix your eyes on your circumstances instead of fixing your eyes on Christ. And so we know this, do not be deceived. Do not lose sight of God's goodness in your trials. Do not lose sight of God's goodness in the testing of your faith. Don't give in to that temptation. Don't buy in to the discouragement. Because only God gives good gifts. And only God can give gifts that are good. And only God can give like that. Here's what I know. This is just straight from the text. I'm not going to make anything up. God gives good gifts because God is a good God. God gives perfect gifts because God is perfect. God comes down into our lives and gives us gifts from above because God is coming down to work in our lives. He is interested in us. And God never changes. And His gifts never change. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great hope for us? Because I don't know about you, but I've gone through hard times before. I've faced difficult circumstances. There's all kinds of things that the enemy wants to throw in my way. And there's all kinds of things God wants to do in my life that cause some testing. But I always trust that God gives good gifts. God works perfectly. And God never changes. And so I praise Him. Can you praise Him, church? Can you praise the Lord because of who He is? We don't give praise. We don't give thanks because of how we feel. We give praise and thanks because of who God is. That is our calling. The result of our thanksgiving always leads to praise. And a life of giving thanks is a life that leads to praise. Thanksgiving. Praise. God is at work. That's who God is, and He's worthy of our praise. So how can we take this home? How can we apply this? Because if you're like me, you've heard a lot of message on giving thanks. If you're like me, you've been in church before on Thanksgiving, and I fear that we're often numb to this idea of thanksgiving, right? We've heard a lot about, you know, give thanks in all things in 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 5 will tell us, you know, give thanks in everything. And so we know and we believe, yeah, I'm supposed to give thanks. I know I'm supposed to praise. I know I'm supposed to do these things. And we would probably acknowledge that we are indeed thankful for everything. But here's this. Here's what I think. I've discovered that when you slap a sloppy brush of thanksgiving over everything, You tend to be deeply thankful for very few things in your life. When you're just like, I'm just thankful for everything, you're actually really not that grateful for very few things. You're just saying what you're supposed to say. You're just feeling how you're supposed to feel. So how can we live thankful? How can we live out thanksgiving? And here's the clue I think that we get from this text here is the way to live big by giving thanks in everything and in all things is to give thanks in the small things. Give thanks in the small things. Before you just say, oh, I'm just thankful for everything, what are you specifically thankful for? Can you name some small things that you're thankful for? Some small things that add up. Some small things that accumulate and become bigger things. Things worthy of praise. Life-changing gratitude does not stick to a life unless it is nailed through with one very specific nail at a time. Life-changing gratitude does not stick to your life unless it is nailed through with one very specific nail at a time. This past summer, I had the opportunity to go down with our Brazil mission team, and we were able to build a house for a missionary there at the camp. And here's what I know. That house was built one nail at a time. Wasn't just put up in a day. It took every nail in that building to go through to put it up and make a house. Some nails were harder to drive than the other. That wood was tough wood, and those nails didn't always go through the very first time or the second time or third time. They took a lot of nails to get that house up. But it took one nail at a time, church. And that's what we have to understand is we need to give thanks for the small things. Nail down why we're thankful. Nail down what we're thankful for one thing at a time. And we will begin to add up more and more thanksgiving, more and more praise, one specific thing of thanksgiving at a time, one specific praise at a time. The psalmist would sum it up very clearly for us in Psalm 71:14, and it tells us this, I will hope continually, and will praise you yet more and more. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our thanksgiving. And before we kind of move on past this week, let us pause. What can we be thankful for? What can we be grateful for? What can we give thanks to the Lord for? How can we praise Him today? If you're having a hard time finding something to be thankful for, why don't you think of all the things you don't deserve and count back? Starting with your breath. Starting with your very breath, because you don't deserve that. Starting with your very breath, what do you not deserve? And then you realize how blessed you are, how grateful you should be. Because God is good. That's His nature. That's His character. And He's producing good in us because that's how He wants our lives to be. And we need to give Him praise. And we need to give Him thanks. And we need to do it one thing at a time. And then we'll be a church. We'll be a people. We'll be a followers of Jesus that exude thankfulness, that exude thanksgiving, that can be a witness to the world. Say, it doesn't matter about your trials. It doesn't matter about the testings that you go through. I can give praise and thanks to God because He's good and He's working good in me. We give thanks in all things because God works in all things, church. Let us be a church. Let us be followers of Jesus that continually give praise to God more and more and more. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. As we come to this time of invitation, response, I want to encourage you this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come and to begin a relationship with Him. If you're sitting here and thinking, I've never met this good Father. I've never met this good God who gives good things. You come, because the greatest gift He's given is salvation. And He wants to save you today, and He's come to save sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for those who didn't need Jesus. He came for those who needed a Savior. And He wants to save you from your sins. If you've never trusted Jesus, I encourage you to come this morning and begin a relationship with Him that will change your life for eternity. Perhaps you've been coming here for a long time. You know this is where God wants you to be, but you're not yet joined the church. We encourage you to make that decision as well today. Say, I want to be committed. I want to start a covenant with this church and begin to give my time, my energy, my efforts, my ministry to this church family. You come. We'll tell you what it means to be a member of New Life Baptist Church. However God is working, as we pray and as we sing, we want you to respond. We want to encourage you to respond today. Father God, we do thank You. Father God, we do praise You. Father God, You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our thanks. And God, may we just be a people of thanksgiving. People that exude, Lord, and exemplify what it means to be thankful in all things. Lord, be thankful for the small things. To be thankful, Lord, that You're at work in us. And Lord, we trust You by faith. That You are producing something good in us. Lord, despite our circumstances, You are not conditional. Lord, despite our testings and our trials, Lord, You are not conditional, but Lord, You remain the same. And so You are worthy of our trust. You're worthy of our faith, and You're worthy of us giving our lives to follow You, Jesus. I pray for our church family to respond in a mighty way today, Lord, that produces much fruit. And Lord, You will just work in us in a mighty way, Lord, that just gives You great glory today. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray, trust, and believe these things this morning. And God's people said, Amen.